This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, and another Town Hall Academy. 400 and maybe 50 weeks we've been doing this. I think 2017 is when we started. 2015 when we started the Remarkable Results Radio. We're in our 10th year. Put your ear to the ground for a 10-year anniversary episode from my first, second, and third ever interview. But here, Town Hall Academy, the single subject forum of first to ever create this for the automotive aftermarket. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you. Here's a word from our great partners. Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And NapaTrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find NapaTrax on the web at NapaTrax.com. Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I love this topic. We're really going to call this closing out the customer or an active delivery. And one person who is going to come on, let me introduce you to Dave and Carlo. Dave says this is one of the most important steps in the customer relationship, closing out the customer or the active delivery process. Dave Shadeen, CEO of CompuTrack Automotive Solutions. Hello, Coach Dave.
Thanks, Carmen. I so appreciate this show and the platform that you have and the ability to give some relevant information in a timely manner to our industry that so needs this stuff.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you coming on. And Dave is, so many of these ideas and topics and guests, they just come from the network that we've created in all these years. So thank you for this. Carlo Sabucco is here from Seals Auto Center, Oakville, Ontario. Hello, Carlo.
Hey, everyone. Hi, Carm. Hi, Dave. So appreciate being here and always great to make you a part of my daily commute and listen to you all the time. So always great information.
Thank you so much, Carlo. So let's jump in this thing, active delivery, the art and science of active delivery. It's really what it is, right?
It is. And it is an exact science on so many different levels. And it's one of the things that is most overlooked when I, analyze a shop and go visit a shop. It's one of the areas that we put so much emphasis on the phone call, the greeting, the writing it up, and the getting the sale and all the processes that we do. Or for those in Canada, the processes, Canada went pro. We're just amateur assessing down here. But all the processes that they do. And then at the end, it's like, hurry up and shuttle them out and get them done and take the money and hope we see you next time. And that's an extreme version, but that's very common. What I see, very minimal thought has been put into the last part of the customer relationship for this visit. And if you think about it, we're going to launch this person out in the community. What are we launching them with? The last thing we launch them with, they just paid $2,500. That's their last, hey, thanks for coming in and we hope to see you next time. But the last interaction, major interaction we had with them in that moment was typically the transaction.
Wait a minute, stop. Here's what just went over my head. I'm driving home. Just let's say it's an 8-mile drive in traffic. I am 15 to 18 minutes alone with the last thoughts that I have on giving up the $2,500.
Yes.
What are the last thoughts that you want me to have?
Exactly. And so I want the last thoughts to be up, to be lively, to be about connection, to be about trust, to be about loyalty, to be about friendship. I want it to have this connection. And that's tough for a lot of us guys that, we don't wear our emotions on the sleeve and we're very analytical, get the job done and da 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 da. And if we're a controller driver, it's like, okay, yep, car's gone, good, you're good to go. Okay, that's $2,500 and awesome. Thanks, Bill. We'll see you next time. Yep. And it's like, and they apply that because that's their persona. They apply it and they don't understand who's in front of them. So the active delivery, its best setup is how did we make the phone call or the how did we take the phone call for the appointment? And so the active delivery starts at the beginning. And part of that is put the expectation about relationship with that customer. Here's a simple phrase. It is so easy to say, And it's so easy to not say. The phrase is, hey, thank you for calling Dave's Auto Repair. This is Dave. As they interact and stuff, great, you know, so have you been in before? Or if I'm not sure who they are, because I'm busy, I answered the phone on the fly, but I slowed it down. I'm greeting at that level 10. And they say, no, I haven't been there before. Well, you know what? Thank you for giving us an opportunity to potentially be your repair center for life. You just said the umbrella, as you call it, I call it context, for that potential of that relationship. Okay, so what's going on? Your check engine light's on. We go to process before we go to connection. And every step along the way, your follow-up phone call, your initial authorization, everything is, how were they greeted on the phone? Were they given a possibility of a lifetime relationship? And then the second way that sets up the act of delivery is now everything's about the car, which means when Mr. Jones brings her 130,000 mile, and I'll speak in US terms instead of kilometers, but 130,000 miles vehicle in, and they're thinking it's high mileage. Well, I'm not going to wait till they give me a high mileage objection that I now have to spend time with. I'm going to handle the objection before it comes up, which means, great, you know, your 2014, you know, Ford F-250, it only has 130,000 miles on it. It's still early on in the life cycle of the vehicle. I'm going for an umbrella of longevity with that customer. With timely repairs and proper preventative maintenance, you know, it's easily, we see these vehicles get, you know, 250,000, 300,000 miles and still be going strong and still have great resale value. So those two things, thank you for giving us an opportunity to possibly be your repair center for life. If it's a repeat customer, you know, hey, thanks, Bill. We love our customers who have given us the privilege of being their repair center for life. I'm going to put declarations over what I expect out of the relationship. Does that make sense? Now, what I said there, there's a whole lot of systemizing to make that happen, which is one of the reasons I love Carlo and what Carlo's doing with his business, because this is like the guru of systemizing. I'm a systems-driven guy, and Carlo took my systems to like a whole new level of what he does with stuff. As we get to the final end of it, there's a strategy for all the way through, but I want to get Carlo's feedback on his, where he took active delivery.
Thanks, Dave. Over the years, it's, you know, what Dave talks about, and it's absolutely true. You know, in the earlier days, it was very analytical, and it is a system. It's a process, and it never ends. So for, like, you know, the individuals who are listening to this, it's like, okay, I got to do it all now, all at the same time. It's not the case. It's taken me years to go through and train advisors or whoever's on the front counter to go through and do this systematically over and over again. And the challenge that you end up having is each employee is a different type of person you're dealing with. So we're going to have analytical, technical people on the front counter. We're going to have super high social people on the front counter with no technical experience. So it's trying to get them to follow these processes or these systems when they answer the phone and they go through the motions. So I know it's for about duplication, or how do you duplicate the process? And a lot of times we've heard it before is scripts. And we're not talking memorization and follow this verbatim process, but it's about empowering the people on the front counter, whoever's answering the phones, to go through and do exactly what Dave's talking about, which is, okay, hey, we want to answer the phone a certain way. We want to gather the information a certain way, and we want to build rapport. And then a big part of the training process and getting into this active delivery and how we go through both on the check-in and on the check-out when they leave is those phone recordings and listening to them and being okay with listening to them and try to coach from those. Those are all tools an owner uses or a general manager uses in order to get these systems in place. What Dave is talking about essentially is about changing our language on the phone when we're taking that call. It's a really key, important part.
You know, Carly, you said a cool word there. I wish I'd created this because it's so cool when I first heard it, but it's not mine. But the word rapport, and in a sense, you're mimicking somebody else. You're following, you're connecting with them at a mental, emotional, physical way that they're reflecting themselves. And so what the letters of rapport is, really all people prefer others reflecting themselves. I'll say that again. Really, all people prefer others reflecting themselves. If you got a fast talker, you be the fast talker. You got a slow talker, be the slow talker. Yeah, you got a close talker, you may not have that far to go. Just saying. However they show up, meet them where they're at. If you got a guy that comes in the door, and this is all about active delivery because it's how you phone, greet them, take the car in at the drop-off. But if you got a guy or a gal comes in and their arms are crossed, as long as it's not like 32 degrees out, what is this usually a sign? I'm closed off. I'm guarding myself. I'm protected. I don't feel safe. I feel untrustworthy. There's no trust here. And so I do the same thing. When that customer comes in, their arms are crossed, guess what I do? I cross my arms. I let them know that they're guarded. I want them to know that subconsciously, I respect their guardingness. And I'm going to do this. I got my arms and I'm going to bounce them a little bit. And I'm going to reach out and I say, you know what? Thank you for coming in. And I'm going to shake their hand. Yeah. And it breaks that off of them. I take the lead in that situation.
I was chatting with somebody the other day and asking them a very important question. Is this just that I don't care, I've given up, I'm not listening or interested anymore? And they said, no, it's a hug.
We don't know why they cross their arms, but I can tell you, if you look at their arms, their eyes, their tonality, you take all of their persona in, you know that, yeah, it's just like cold out, you know, or what are you going to try and rip me off here? Are you going to try and sell me? You know, they got that kind of that demeanor about them. Do not have a denicer. They have a demeanor. And you can read that. And then you got guys that are just like, man, it's so great to be here, you know? And it can be that hug, so to speak.
The emulation, I mean, I do that a lot. And don't ask me why. It's a comfortable thing for me. And I always worried that people look at me like, oh, he's tuned me out. He doesn't give a crap about what I'm doing or saying or that I'm even here. And so I stop when I consciously think that I'm in this really cool, comfortable, loving, hugging mode. And so, again, the echo chamber says, oh, somebody will explain to you exactly why you do what you do. And then, oh, and then I say, oh, see, that's okay. And I was just curious of your opinion on that, Dave, but I'm a crosser armser or I'm actually a hugger, I guess.
Crossing arms is okay. So if that person is connecting on a true connection and their arms are crossed, I don't have to worry about it. I know that's just their posture. You know, some people have back issues and it's easier for their back and that. What I do know is that the advisor is just that, their advisor capacity, and they're leading the conversation to best serve the customer. And it's the power of enrollment. Sales is really nothing more than the power of enrollment. Enrolling others, what we want them to do, but for their best interest. And when we really understand sales, it's a heart of service. It's not about the money. It's about the opportunistic entrepreneurial mindset is not what can I make, is how can I serve in this moment. It really is.
When Dave was talking about the check-in process, was we have to make sure that we link the phone and how we deal with that customer on the phone. It's like, you know, we have this, say this guy's on the phone, we want to make sure we're building rapport, and then the customer finally checks in and we're completely different. So it's about making sure that, I wanted to make sure that as owners or as we're training or as we're coaching and mentoring our people, you got to tie the two together. So it's not one system for the phone and one system for when they check in. We want to make sure that everybody is the same path. So, hey, how we answer the phone with that tonality, with that rapport building, with that relationship first mentality in mind. But it's when they come in, and it may not be a service advisor that greets them at the front. It may end up being a technician because everybody's tied up. So it's knowing that everybody has the same sort of process. And that's what I end up running back to. And you keep on repeating that over and over again. So when that person does come in and they're cross-armed or they're in a rush or the kids are running around, we have that same feeling that was on the phone. And it could be service advisor A that did the phone and service advisor B does the exact same style of check-in that they would have expected that person on the phone talking to them. It's making sure that we're training that with our people.
Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTracks, that's NapaTracks.com. Transform your team with today's class, where automotive training is easy, quick, and fun. Just 5 minutes a day on our app can eliminate hours of looking up forgotten information later. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Keep critical knowledge fresh and top of mind, ensuring your team operates at peak efficiency. Today's class is impactful, accessible from anywhere, and a bit of fun too, and we're not talking about after-hours pizza either. For training that gets results, turn to todaysclass.com. I love everything that I've heard so far, and I'm pulling away from what you just said, Carlo, these two words, consistent impression. So if we were sitting down with our team, no matter at what level they were, who was, they're on the phone, the phone's ringing too long, so someone in the back picks it up because that's the rule of the company. The consistent impression that would have happened in the front needs to happen in the back, and or at the phone, at the actual check-in, and at the active delivery at the end. That consistent impression, and it goes back to what you said about Carlo, the processes have to be clearly defined on what we do, what we say, how we act, and have that person who's swiping that $2,500 ticket through the machine feel good about it.
One of the things I've noticed is that as we systemize a business, we have a system for greeting the phone, a phone call greeting, the making the appointment, the prepping the repair order, the check-in at the process, the follow-up phone call for the sale, the follow-up phone call that, hey, we're complete, we're done, or whatever that communication is. And we have a system along the way. What connects those is VWR, value, words, and reasonings. What connects them is what I call the, and I'll use your word, Dirk Carm, it's the umbrella, it's the expectation umbrella. When I have a phone call with a customer, I'm putting an expectation of a long-term relationship, but I'm also going to continue in that conversation, put an expectation what making an appointment looks like at Dave's Auto Repair. And then I'm going to, as I make that appointment, I'm going to give them an expectation what it looks like when they come in. And then when they come in, I'm going to give them an expectation what it looks like, whether it's a Diag PM and repair context visit, I'm going to tell them what the next expectation of our next interaction. Every interaction with a customer should tee up automatically your next interaction, your next experience, your next expectation. Here's the reason you want expectations driven by the advisor at the counter with a customer. Think about this in relationship. If somebody gives you the word and they meet it, they give you the word, they meet it. They give you a promise, they meet it. They give you this, they meet it. If you do that 6 to 7 times and you clearly set an expectation, then you go meet it. Where is trust in that relationship now? High or low? It's really high. So when an advisor sets expectations and then meets them, when they make the phone call to do the upsell, guess what? They have forward momentum of trust because they've set the context that what I say I do, I meet. And there's a huge amount of trust in that. So the expectation of the appointment, how did the appointment supposed to look? They showed up, it looked that way. When they dropped their car off, when I call them about, hey, by the way, Mr. Jones, and the diagnostics that you're looking for, the accurate diagnostics you're looking for, means that the vehicle will need to be dropped off the night before. Can you drop off at 4:15 or 4:30? Well, I can't be there until 5. Well, I already have two other people coming in at 5 o'clock, so there might be a little bit of a busy time. I might be a few minutes before I can connect with you when you get there. Versus, okay, and we wait for them to show up at 5. Meanwhile, it's 5:15, 5:20. We didn't set the expectation that there might be a wait because I already have two people, which is another part of the act of delivery is that, okay, Mr. Jones, great. The vehicle's been quality controlled and tested right now. It's working as per design. So we have the act of delivery pickup time is going to be either, 4:30 or 4:45. Which time works best for you? Well, I can't be there until about 5:15. Well, we already have two people coming in at 5:15 and that there might be a little bit of a wait. And so you can go through that process. And then if they want to do an after hour pickup, that's another whole set of process of active delivery on the phone, getting that wow factor that they're going to pay over the phone or by text or credit card or whatever, and then pick it keys up after hour. That's another whole thing. Anyway, back to the umbrella. Each system in each place should be just like our joints are connected with like a tendon or a sinew or whatever they call those, and they're connected. Expectation sets up the next system to run at full strength. Then that expectation runs to the next one. So once I do the follow-up diagnostic call that they knew was coming between 10:30 and 11:30, and I met that expectation, and then now, and the technicians found reporting, this is what we found, I'm going to send you over the inspection sheet, and you'll see that inspection sheet. And then in about 30 to 60 minutes, you'll see a matching estimate that comes through, and I'll text you that the estimate's coming through. And now it might be one or two more steps for the advisor, but because I've set expectations up so high, now when I call him with the estimate, I've already got a preview of that. I've already got that set. And here's my, I get the world of contactless digital things. If you have like $1,000 or more of a little bit more intellectual understanding for that item to be sold, preventative maintenance, $1,200, $1,500, you can probably send them a text and get an authorization and be okay. But what happens is the digital disconnect, in one sense, pictures have sold more, but the disconnect has not sold what it could be. When you take the human element of connecting about and educating, there's a ratio. It's not an altruistic number, but I prefer my coaching for best results is seen. Let them know you're going to text them when the diagnostics is done and send them the inspection sheet. Let them know from in that text that you're going to send them within 30 to 60 minutes or 1 to 2 hours, you're going to see a matching a value package priced estimate, not a quote. Get rid of the word quote. Don't use the word quote. It boxes you in a corner. Use the word estimate. Our industry is too volatile to use the word quote. It just is. Unless you're quoting tires is one thing, or a battery, get rid of the word quote. It brings in an aura of perfectionism that you can't ever live up to, and personally, I don't like it. So then from there, I send them that, you're going to get the estimate. I'm going to call you 20 minutes and we can talk about the estimate to give you that peace of mind that you're looking for, whatever that is. Then I give them the expectation of promise times, what that looks like, professional promise times. And then if it's a longer repair, I'm contacting them usually once a day or once every other day if I've got like a part that's on order for 2 weeks or whatever. And then I'm setting expectation, the act of delivery, the time of day that they want to have or that we have available for them so that I can deliver at a high level. Those are just the system to get. We haven't even talked about what's inside of an act of delivery that makes it powerful.
Dave made a comment about the texting and stuff like that. And over the years, as we've evolved in our businesses, a lot of people have adopted and have accepted digital from start to finish as a way of doing business. And I fully agree with it. So we're not always going to get a phone call. So you'll get someone who says, well, I can't do that relationship building because we do a lot of online appointments,
right.
Software like AutoOps and stuff like that. These are very sophisticated online shop management tools, and even shop programs themselves are getting more sophisticated. So how do I do this? Same process, same pattern. What you do on the phone and what you do in person is translated into how you build out your digital platforms.
Yes.
So the online experience, hey, this is really great. I was able to click and I booked an appointment. Some software platforms will automatically put it into your calendar. Some of them you have to have an employee acknowledge it and then respond back. It's that experience that's all part of that. And again, they get to the front counter and that experience that they had that was nonverbal is the same way when we deliver that morning check-in or when they arrive. So our work order of the work that is to be done is prepared. It's ready to go. We term it as staging. It's ready to, like, you're not taking orders or taking complaints or concerns at that moment. Your file is ready to go. So that digital experience that, hey, everything was really easy when I clicked, transitions into the same thing at check-in. Right. So you can deliver that message to them. And again, part of that entry process, Dave was mentioning before about building rapport, building relationship. One of the things that we ended up using as a tool in training with the staff is just asking them. So what's, especially new customers, what's the lifetime expectancy of this vehicle? Like, where do you see yourself going? Like, how do you take care of your vehicle? We want to ask those questions at first as part of that repeatable process because, well, I intend to hang on to this car for a long time. What are we setting our technicians up for? We're setting our technicians up to, okay, hey, we got to do a thorough inspection. We're going to use premium quality parts. Customer check-in says, what's your plan for it? This is a POS. It is my grocery getter. I don't want to do anything to it. Okay, so let's not go and do 6 hours of estimating on this vehicle because the customer has no intentions. And he advised us at check-in that he had no intentions of going through and doing that. Now, there's different opinions on this. Again, it's something that we've looked at as just asking the customer at first thing in the morning at check-in is, what's your plan with this vehicle? Well, I plan to hang on to it for a long time. No, 2 or 3, 4 years, I think. Okay, great. This is how we do our business. And we talk about one of the things and the tools that we ever come up with is not all people are, I find with my staff and with people, not all people are great with language. So sometimes they need tools. And one of the successful tools is company brochure. Some people have used this already, and it's a tool to help some of those people create that systematic delivery process. Hey, Mr. Customer, you've never been here before. This brochure explains a little bit about us, what you should expect from your visit today, and what you should expect from me today. Now we're putting it in paper and handing it to them. And now that delivery is now in writing. We've handed them the brochure. We've wrote in there that, hey, around 10 or 11 o'clock, we're going to follow up on your vehicle. So we made our employee accountable. So it's how this delivery process and how this is going to go. But sometimes we need tools to help people out. So sometimes we train and teach our staff and it's like, they still don't get it. Okay, try another way. Give them a tool. See if they can hand the person something and that gives them that little bit of freedom to work with. No different than digital inspections have helped advisors. In some cases, the advisors just send the inspection and let it do it itself. Other advisors send the inspection and they know the value words and reasonings around it. Now, some people do really well with those tools. Some people don't. So it's the same thing with when we're going through and doing this check-in process. We want to make sure that we offer as many tools in our war chest for the team to be successful at this process, scripts or brochures or whatever. We want to make sure we go through and do that. But whatever we do in our verbal world, we got to try to mimic it in the digital world.
If I'm on the counter and I'm realizing this has been very much a hands-off thing, how can I bring that human side, even if it's, you know, pay by text or however they want to pay for it? How do we build the relationship to be more human than the cold digital? It has to be our job. We have to know where in the process this person is. If they're going to pick up the vehicle and we're not going to be here, I got to add some human touch somewhere along the line, even if it's on, you know, finding the right time. Dave, I loved how you said, listen, if you just tell a person to show up at this particular time and you're BSing them because you know there's going to be 3 other people and they're going to be pissed that they have to wait in line, that is not a healthy decision that you made. And something else that you said, Dave, we've QC'd the car. We quality control the car. How many people know that shops do this? Okay.
They don't unless you tell them.
Listen, to learn just one thing, this is it. Are we really sharing in these closing of the active delivery of this vehicle? Are we sharing with them? Stop the acronyms, stop the high tech talk. Our best, you know, technology specialist was all over this. We're so happy he was able to solve the problem. We put the car through a quality control process. Everything's wiped off. We believe it's pristine.
You said something interesting there that in Carlo, contextually, you have a customer drops off at the counter, and the last thing you say, one of the most immoral, unethical sales processes, is tell them what you're going to tell them, get to the price and shut up because he who speaks next loses. Why would I ever use a system that puts myself or my customer in a losing situation? Immoral, unethical. And guess what? I used to use it 1.67 hours per operator. I used something different in 4.5 days. I went to 3.33 hours per operator. It works that fast. Get away from ending conversation on the dollar amount in a sales process. Also, when they dropped off at the counter and you have a level one stage diagnostics and best practices are you present diagnostics in a range format. You know, Mr. Jones, the dynamic computer system scan test with our certified technician on your particular vehicle, it runs anywhere from the $150 to the $520 range. Ultimately, what's wrong with your vehicle will determine what that cost. If it looks like it heads over the $520 for a stage one diagnostics, would you prefer a text or a phone call? Great, awesome. By the way, here's a company brochure. You give them the brochure there now because I ended the sentence as far away from the dollar amount as possible. I ended it on human interaction. Would you prefer a text or a phone call? Then I hand them the brochure because in Carlo's environment there in the area, you got a huge commuter train. They just authorized, they went to the train and now they're sitting for 15, 20 minutes thinking about, I just said authorized 520. No, they're reading a brochure about how great the company is. They're not thinking about 520. You have given them something to think about. The dollars are irrelevant. They are what they are. A-level shops to A-level shops, we're all in the same pretty much boat there. In the active delivery, here's one of the most critical parts of the active delivery that empowers it the most. And you said it there. Nobody knows that we do quality control unless you tell them we do. Here's where your perception of being expensive will get blown out of the water and you typically won't have look expensive anymore. And your word of mouth marketing will exponentially go up. When you go over your repair at a professionally drawn out, laid out, Arcan Jobs help shops build that, but you have the Diag story, the R&R story, the component that failed, one or two of those, and you got the related PM services, you got the ECM relearn on there that we're going to clear the codes, validate, and all that. So, hey, Mr. Jones, these are all the things that we did in the diagnostic process. These are all the things we did when we replaced the master overflow sensor. These are all the things we did when we replaced the O2 sensor. These are all the things we did in the decarbon service. These are all the things we did in the air filter cleaning. These are all the things that we did in the ECM clearing the codes and out to that. These are all the things we did. These are all the things. These are all the things. These are all the things. And here's the oil change. We do more than just an oil change. Here's all the things we do on a professional level oil and filter service. Here's all the things we do on our brake inspection. So the point there is, here's all the things we did. Here's all the things we did. And even to the point, it's rapid fire. And at the end, you know what your customers will say? Wow, you guys sure do a lot. I got a great value. You launched them in the community and now they're spreading the gospel of the shop because you said, these are all the things we did. These are the best practices. We've gone to great lengths to make sure that these processes give you the best peace of mind possible. These are all the things we did. When you do it at that level, your word of mouth marketing will get to the point where 70% of your customers coming in the door from all your marketing efforts, your new customers coming in the door, will be from word of mouth marketing. That is your key performance indicator, KPI. Do I have a wow factor with my customer database? If your database isn't sending you at least 70% of your new customers, I'm sorry, it's walk of humility here. You don't have a wow factor at a high level with your customers. You may have a level 5 or 6 where you only have 50% of your new customers are coming in of based on word of mouth. I'm going to say it's possible to get to 70.
Okay. We are talking active intake and active delivery with Coach Dave Shedeen and Carlo Sabuco. Carlo, do you agree with him?
What Dave just said is the biggest takeaway any listener should take away. And that is, I've used that process forever. I've trained all my team with that. Just take that away and A, better rapport, better relationships, better referrals. Just don't end on the dollars, end on the value, words, and reasonings. And that's the golden nugget of this whole process, is it making sure that we don't end on the dollars, which I'm the same way. I was trained that way. But what Dave just said, I just remembered when Dave taught me that years ago, I said, really? And it's part of our system. Never end on the dollars.
Okay, Carlo, you just hired me to come to work for you on your counter. I've got about 5 great years of experience. I just am excited to come to work for Sills. How are you going to start training me? What happens with that?
We start by reversing training. Where did you come from? So you're from a dealer. Okay, so we have to untrain X. You came from a big corporation. We got to untrain X. And then we start to retrain the basics of appreciation, gratitude, being grateful to the phone rings versus I'm so busy. Be grateful the phone rings all the time because those people are paying our paychecks. Once gratitude and gratefulness is educated with new people, then we start getting into the ABC of how we train them on how we do our delivery process. And ideally wise, it's, yeah, we sit down, we coach them one-on-one here. We go through and walk them through the scripts and we listen to the phone calls. We show them the tools and we stand behind them at first with customers. And a lot of times, depending on the size of your operation, we make warm calls like, hey, this is Carm. He's been with us for 10 years. No, who's our new service advisor? And we make that rapport. We try to make that happen. Or if an advisor A has been there a lot longer, great. Introduce them to advisor B who's new and build the rapport out of it. Don't look as the advisors as, you know, one's competing against the other because they're on sold hours or compensation packages. It's all about the rapport. So that's how we go through and train it. And it never ends. Like, yes, that's just how it is.
put your arm around the new person, make sure they get the processes and you're holding them accountable to that. Would you say that if I wasn't up to speed in 2 months, then I may not be a fit?
You know, the reality is in my experience, it depends on the owner, but I typically give 3 months to see if you've got the human basics to be able to do this.
I love that.
But my answer has always been, I give advisors 1 year here to groom a level A, and I'm talking level A as individuals who can juggle a lot of balls, order parts, deal with technicians at a very high level, deal with customers at a very high level. I think it's a year-long process. The first 90 days is, can they answer the phone? Can they present active delivery? Can they sell work and present that work to the customer properly? And can they understand digital technology? And then after the 3 months, it's getting into more of the nitty-gritty of technology and how to go through our AutoServe One inspections and our DVIs and stuff like that. But I've never been a good person to flesh someone out in the interview process if they're going to be a perfect candidate or not. So I know usually within that 3 month window, they have it or not. And I've seen people who are very technical on the front counter and don't have the gift for language. And I've seen the opposite, where they're super amazing relationship based. They're awesome at relationships, but they can't get the technical side together. Sometimes you got to work one advisor with the other to make it happen. Hence the reason why if advisor A takes the call, advisor B can still do it in person the right way, or they work together knowing each other's flaws. That's the reality. Like, sometimes I'll listen to something like, that's not going to work in my shop. I'm like, okay, probably maybe it won't, but how do you work around it? My people will never answer the phone and do it the way you're doing it. We just say, yes, bring it in and get it over the curb. There is a yes, bring it in. That is the reality. We want the car to the door. I don't want to spend all my time talking on the phone. It's making a very concise message, initiate the message, value words and reasonings, what differentiates you. I've always thought of the active delivery when we're talking to customers on the phone for that a check-in period. The objective is differentiate yourself some which way, shape, or form in that phone call or digitally differentiate yourself. And get the person there and make sure that message is the same message.
Celebrate crescendo moments. Dave, I love that was one of the words you sent me. Those crescendo moments. Here's what I'm thinking here. I don't know why I keep thinking of the L word here. Love. Don't ask me why, but if you love your job and you love your client, you love the relationship that you're having or building, it's like, why would you go any other place?
That's so spot on. The context of the two most powerful emotions in the universe are the best business emotions you can ever create in your business. It's called love and grace. I love you enough to call you on the carpet when you don't perform. I give you grace enough when you don't perform. I give you that year period to learn. I've implemented things so that you have best chance of success. You want to hire advisors who don't speak automobilese? You go to your canned jobs and you build your super highway to estimating. And you have your canned jobs of wet valley intake, timing chain, variable cam timing unit, all those things, they're worded and scripted in such a way that makes sense to Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Well, the advisor then has that already script based on your canned job. They get to pull it up and they are up to speed and speaking automobiles way easier than they ever did before. And then you build in triggers. Hey, we do that job. We do A, B, C, D, E, and F, because there are so many moving pieces, like Carlos said. Even an A-level tech, A-level advisor, we forget things because there's so many moving pieces. When our system overcomes a second constraint in a shop is forgetfulness. And forgetfulness is directly tied to your energy that you walk into your business with. Am I on a level 10 operation the moment I walk in my shop today? Am I at a level 10 emotionally? I'm going to get this job done today. I'm going to come from a heart of service today.
We hear a lot, Carlo, about keeping clean bathrooms for clients with this one single premise that sits above that strategy. And that would be, would your mom or your grandma go to the bathroom here? And all I keep hearing from you in order to get this ingrained, become hardened body filler is, it's my mom or grandma on the other end of the phone or in front of me. Hey, listen, mom, come back at 5, but you may have to wait a few moments. there are all these situations that we would tell our parents, but sometimes we're too short with our client versus a parent or a close. Am I thinking, or is it the opposite?
I think a lot of times we want to have respect when we're talking on the phone. And again, it goes back to that, have gratitude that, hey, before you pick that phone up and start explaining the $5,000 estimate to the customer, we got to be respectful. We got to be grateful. It's not a widget. Again, it's your number in the system. You know, one of my service advisors, we were discussing, say, hey, the economy's a bit tight, so should we change how we go through and do our process? And his answer was, we explain everything as if it was my mom on the other end of the phone. And if they don't want to do it, that's fine. But we've explained it. They made the choice. They made the decision. So whether that's how you get an individual to look at accepting the process is, hey, we've got to go through and we want to make sure that we've explained everything as if it was your mom's car. You know, would you tell her everything? Yes. You know, each person, we've heard tons of different podcasts on high D's and I's and this type of person, and every person's going to react differently. Some of them will hang up and cut you off, but we always start the conversation off with, hey, respect and gratitude. We go through the value of what we're doing, what needs to be done. And again, whether in the morning or whether at the end of the day, we're still going through that whole process and adding value. I think a lot of times when I end up talking to shop owners, we don't value ourselves. Like, we value a clean bathroom. We value loaner carts. We value our technician. Like, we have some amazing technicians and we don't value them at the counter. Like, you know what? Corey was working on your vehicle today. You know, he's been with us for 27 years and he worked on your car. He did a great job on it. He quality controlled, made sure everything was right. He wants to make sure that you have peace of mind and everything is done and taken care of. You know, sometimes it's about, in that process, is making sure that we inject some of the things that we don't appreciate in our own business that we do. We have some, like, I've seen independent repair shops with some amazing clean facilities, professional, the whole thing. And we don't even add that into our language. You know, it's about being appreciative of our own business. I'm to blame on that. For many years, I would go through the process and I go, you know, I didn't even say that we road test the vehicle on that particular service. Or I didn't say that this is what makes us different on that particular service. I'm like, I devalued my own business. So it's making sure, and we, again, goes back to the deeper level. That's where I said, how long do we expect someone to be trained? That's when you start getting into that deeper level of training over that 1 year process is, here's our staff, a technician. Diagnostics is a big one because people complain about, oh, people want to pay for diagnostics. It's how it's delivered. You know, level one, level two, level three, range pricing, it doesn't matter. When we're presenting diagnostics, yeah, we need to go through and diagnose a vehicle. It's going to cost X dollars and we're going to go through and figure out what the problem is. You know what? We've got Corey, who's one of our lead diagnostic technicians, scheduled to be working on your vehicle. He's going to be diagnosing this. He's going to go through the various tests of the vehicle. We're going to report back to you. Again, it's value to the person who's working in the back. Most places don't talk like that. And that's part of that coaching and mentoring that takes that long period. So yeah, you know, the question before, where should we find out? Can a person sell widgets? Can a person sell a broke car? People who sell broke cars can be found out in 2 months, 3 months. Brakes are broke, you can sell it. But can you build referrals? Can you build rapport? Can you build value? That takes time. And that's that process.
I love it. You got me thinking about explaining to customers some of the things that we do that they may not even realize. And the vehicle was in for, say, 5,000 miles of maintenance, and we were going to rotate the tires. And says, hey, we did rotate the tires, and we double-checked the torque on that for you. Because, frankly, it's so critical. I've been involved with my own son once where the tires came off, and, you know, one of the tires went further than his car did. And I think those stories exist that are out there, but people don't really quite realize all the things that we do to keep the vehicle safe and reliable for them. You mentioned DISC and all the kinds of relationships. On my downloads page on my website, I have this document. It's a free DISC chart, and it says how to treat others. If you're a D, how you treat an I, an S, or a C. So it's a really cool, quick look document. And I think that's one of the things to go through in finding out what your communication style is, but not necessarily know how to communicate with the person who could be your polar opposite. And, you know, if you know yourself, and you know how to deal with a, if you will, a dominant individual. You can do that. Look, at this was fabulous. We could go on forever. Dave, I want to give you a last word, and Carla, if you have anything else to say, but I appreciate this. This whole active intake, active delivery. Coach Dave Shadeen from CompuTrek Auto Solutions and Carla Sabuca from Sills in Oakville, Ontario. So if you notice the process word, you know why. Coach Dave.
Back to what I was saying, that the two most powerful beingnesses you can show up as love and grace. When it comes to your customers, heart of service is just another version of saying, I love my customers. If you don't prep the repair order, don't tell me you love your customers. If you don't set expectations for your customers, don't tell me you love your customers. If you don't do a well thought out heart connection, some, whether it's a digital heart connection or in person, whatever you do, did you have a heart of service connection as they exited your building? Did you book the next appointment? If you didn't book your next appointment, you don't really love your customer. You just don't. You're just like, I don't really care about you. I don't even care about my employees. I don't care about my paycheck because I'm not going to book my next GP dollars. You know, it's not about the money. It's about livelihood. It's about connection. I end with this. Every step along the way, make it a process and make it from a context of how can we serve better? How can we serve communication connection better? And when you analyze and look at your business and you move in such a way where it's about heart of service, look out, world, you're going to have a shop that will stand out from everybody else around you.
A wild thought that I absorbed from what you just said, Dave. You've got the process laid out. It's on a sheet of paper. It's in a book. It's on the web. And near all of this active delivery, active intake, put a heart on some of the, an icon of a heart on some of these most critical moments that you need to be in it deep. And that heart signifies everything you just said. Just use the heart as a visual icon to keep them on track. Thanks for that. Carlo, last word.
He's always got the emotional side of this covered every time I agree with him. I'm the tools in the toolbox type person. And, you know, when we talk about delivery, we talk about the different talents that we have on the counter. Is A, be patient with the process. You know, give them tools, whether a company brochure. At the end of the day, you know, maybe it's a referral card that they need because certain people work differently. It's not all verbal, it's visual or touch. So give the individuals on your team the tools to make the delivery process. And don't forget to remind them that they have to stick their hand out at the end of it and shake their hand and make contact with the person and say thank you. Because that really is sort of where a little magic moment happens when this is part of it. And yeah, it's what you just said about putting a heart beside it. Yeah, there is a documented process that has tremendous success. Once repeated over and over again, it becomes just a habit.
Oh, put some heart stickers on the phone. Interesting. I love this. Thank you so much. One of these iconic episodes that we can refer people to all the time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carm. Great to be here.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.